Oh, Dad, I have a proposal for you. Mm-hmm. Seems there's a woman in Roz's building that would like to go out with you. Roz says that she's got a wonderful personality.
Oh, I guess that means I'm the pretty one.
That's cute. Notice when you say that someone has a great personality, what do you envision? Usually, if they're real pretty, you would say, God, is she a knockout? And then Dad would say, really? But does she have a good personality? But usually it's one or the other, and you can have both, and that's cool. This is Dr. Ellen Kenner. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness, and I want to welcome Tom to the phones. Tom, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Dr. Kenner. I'm enjoying the program this morning. Got a question for you, and I hope it isn't really too trivial.
Okay, go ahead, shoot.
It's fairly important to me, so I figured I might as well give it to
you. Good for you.
I started dating somebody, and we kind of, let's say, hit it off. But I've noticed that this person is trying to change me.
Okay, how old are you? How old are you, Tom?
I'm in my late 30s, and she's in her early 40s.
Okay, and so tell me about the changes.
And I suppose in some people's mindsets, it might be all for the better, but for me, it's something that is fairly dramatic in the sense that it's something that not only do I not wish to do, even if one could rationalize if it's even for the better. I don't want to even say that I'm set in my ways. I just wish to be comfortable, and to try to change me is going to make me uncomfortable.
Can you give me an example? What's the one that bugs you?
Total example.
The one that bugs you the most.
I can't wear the blue jeans. Got to wear black slacks.
Okay.
That is a change in lifestyle that I don't wish. Not only do I not wish to take part of, it's one that it just isn't going to happen. I'm sorry to say that, and that's just one instance.
But you look I'll be her for a minute. You look so much nicer in the black slacks. I mean, you look handsome.
Okay,
and why do you have to wear these worn-out jeans or these?
They're not worn-out jeans, by the way. That would be her opinion, and she's entitled to it. And, you know,
I mean, if you love me, you could do it for me.
Well, then I guess I don't love you.
Okay, so jeans win. Okay, notice it's your own choice making that you're fighting for. If you, on your own, say a decade from now, decide that you want to try on some black slacks and you like the look on you and you're sick of the jeans and you want a change of pace, that's different because it's coming from you.
Well, of course that would be different.
So tell me how else she's doing a whole makeover,
yeah,
on you, right?
Yeah, no, it's the whole makeover.
Okay,
not
give me more. What else?
A different hairstyle.
Okay.
I mean, it's all this external type of stuff that honestly, like I said, and I am comfortable within myself. I don't have a problem getting a date when it comes to Saturday night, and I'm just being put through the much more of a roller coaster than I wish to be put through.
Why are you staying with her? What's the value?
Well, there is no value, I guess. I mean, I guess there.
Something kept you. How long have you been dating her?
Oh, it's been about 3 or 4 months.
Okay. What's kept you there for 3 or 4 months? Is she pretty?
She's pretty enough, but there's plenty of good-looking women out there. So I just don't like to. Maybe it's a matter of just a defeatist attitude. I often feel that when one is comfortable with another person, they might as well enjoy it for as long as they possibly can. And I mean, it might be a natural impulse to go around and troll, but that isn't necessarily my style. If I can all prevent it.
Okay, so would you like a long-term romance then? You don't want to just go enjoy one woman for as long as you can, and
I think that's reasonable.
You do want a long-term relationship.
It's not even a question of wanting it. It's reasonable. In this day and age, certainly, it's obviously preferable, I think, to most people probably listening to the program.
Okay. So if that's your goal, Tom, then partly whenever two people get together, they will have different styles, different preferences. And many people, I mean, it would be perfectly ideal that that my husband would like my hair the way it used to be, which was frizzy. He doesn't. Well, luckily, I didn't either. But let's say I did like it, then we have a conflict. And sometimes those small things, which are not moral issues, it's not like lying or cheating or stealing.
Losing weight was another one of them.
Losing weight is another one of them.
But when we first got married, I became a fabulous cook. I was cooking from Playboy cookbooks. I was a gourmet cook. And my husband put on 20 pounds in the first year, and I looked at him, and he was less attractive. And I told him so, and he took off the weight, and we both won. And he told me at a certain point that I was putting on some weight. Now, if you see me, you can't believe that because I'm very thin. But I started losing the weight.
Dr. Kenner, I'm sorry. I just come from a point of view where that if you really care about somebody, I mean, it's one thing to give a subtle hint that's very discreet and it goes almost unnoticed except to the person that you're talking to, and they pick it up so slightly that they don't even realize that you're even bringing it up. That's one thing, and I have nothing against that. But to go ahead and tell somebody that you care about that to change in such an abrupt way, and that they are so dissatisfying in the way that they are, I am sorry, I got a problem with that.
Okay,
it's almost of a level that I cannot comprehend.
Okay, one of the main goals that you want in a relationship is to feel visible, for love, to be loved for the person that you are. That type of psychological visibility is what draws us to people. And that's what you want to cherish in any relationship. If somebody, like a critical parent, is always saying, I don't like your hair, I don't like that you wear jeans, you're
that's
too fat, I don't like this job, why don't you get a new job?
Yeah,
why
can't you have another one on the list, Dr. Kenner.
Okay, well, these are major, and not the jeans, but the way you wear, that's an optional one, it's not
I have a job where I have to arrive or so early in the morning that by the time late afternoon comes around, I am tired.
Okay.
And apparently when that person's getting off work is the time that she wants to do stuff, and I'm sorry, I am done.
Okay, so...
And it's another problem, and she just can't understand that.
I wrote a book with Dr. Ed Locke. Go to the chapter on finding a soulmate, chapter 5, and it would show you how complicated it is to find somebody who's a good match for you, because you need to match not only on, is she a moral person, a good person, is she a person who's working, but you need to match on all of these nuances that are very significant. I'm calling them nuances.
Certainly are.
But if you feel like you've got a critical parent around you, and every time she looks at you, she sees funny hair, and she sees a guy who doesn't have the career she wants the guy to have, you're not a Ken doll, and she's not a Barbie doll. You can't make each other into the, you know, you can't dress each other the way you want. There is some give and take in a relationship, but as you said, it's done with tact. It's done subtly. It's done with loving tenderness, not with the critical parent approach.
I mean, Dr. Kenner, I got to tell you, I mean, this is something I would never in a million years have said to her.
Yeah.
But if I wanted to be critical, I could certainly think, I mean, I could have been so critical that I would, not only would I have damaged her psychologically, it would have been, I think, the end of any kind of relationship. I don't know how we could continue or proceeded after I said such hurtful things.
Okay. You want to respect yourself, obviously. So it sounds like you are sick and tired of her and you want to break it off. And
I just threw in the towel on the whole thing.
Okay. But if you want to prevent that in the future, there is some give and take in all relationships.
Dr. Kenner, I believe it. I have no problem with a little give and take. But when each and every day there's something new, and then she discreetly kind of tells you, well, she didn't tell you everything at once because she wanted to kind of slowly go in. I mean, it was a total makeover by the time we were all done.
We're at the end of the hour. I'd love to continue talking with you. If you want to call up with maybe a solution for yourself on another show, I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you so much.
I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness, and we'll speak with Dr. John Lewis another week, and we'll talk about the law officer another week.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner.
When partners disagree on important things, it makes romance harder. But what about small optional things? Let's say your partner was brought up in a poor home and hates to see the water running in the shower for more than 5 minutes. Or you like the bed made every day and your partner thinks it's not a big deal. These are examples of differences that all couples encounter. It's rational to make a compromise on such things without either partner being a martyr. For example, your partner might grasp that you are now financially better off and that it's okay to take a longer shower. Your partner may choose to make the bed, or you may agree to make the bed together. Or you can decide that it's not a big deal whether it's made at all.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com. And you can buy The Selfish Path to Romance at amazon.com.